This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He has traveled from the United Kingdom to Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Two parts have emerged in these last days that look for a long-term conflict, not only in Ukraine, but in Europe. One is the search for 155-millimeter shells, or manufacturing the artillery rounds that are needed to sustain this Verdun-like stalemate we see in Donbass, but also to imagine a future conflict in which the big guns that have been shipped to Ukraine have to be sustained theoretically across the European map. I note, Anatole, that the NATO ministers meeting these last days are looking to build the manufacturing hubs to manufacture 1 or 2 million shells. That's looking out up to five years. So, in your measure, has NATO been converted to this military organization that will man the watchtowers no matter the ceasefire in Ukraine?
Yes, I think that is true. Certainly, that is all the language coming out of NATO now. I've obviously said this before, but if Russia has spent months trying, and so far only partially successfully, to capture one small city in eastern Ukraine, Bakhmut, and has been driven out of other large areas of Ukraine that it did manage to capture, it is frankly very hard to imagine a direct, a Russian ground attack on NATO. Where on earth would the Russians get the the men and the equipment to do that, even if they wanted to do so, which they've shown no desire ever to attack NATO directly? No, I mean, that of course leaves other possibilities open for Russia to hit at NATO if the Russians do decide to escalate this conflict. But it won't be the kind of attack that can be repelled by 6-inch artillery shells. It will be attacks on infrastructure, attacks on satellites, attacks claiming retaliation for the blowing up of the Nord Stream pipeline, and obviously with the threat in the background to escalate towards nuclear war, which is mostly bluff, but perhaps not totally. So you see, there is a Russian danger, but it's not quite the one, I think, that NATO is talking up. No, but of course the artillery shells will be, will be very useful for the Ukrainians, who actually are fighting a war on the ground.
And are out of ammo, as is Russia, according to reports on what day you read. Moldova, 2.6 to 3 million people speaking a dialect of Romanian, also speaking Russian, landlocked. You've written about the breakaway province of Transnistria. Is Moldova a practical move for Moscow in this stalemate in Donbass to political coup in Chisinau? Is that practical?
As to whether the Russians could overthrow the government in Moldova, it's difficult to say. Russia has retained a good deal of influence there. But on the other hand, you also have very strong anti-Russian forces. And Moldova, is now looking much more optimistically at eventually joining the European Union. The thing is, for Russia to stir up trouble there would be a tremendous risk for Russia, because the Russian-backed breakaway region of Transnistria, which has about 1,500, Russian troops, so-called peacekeepers protecting it, is completely surrounded by Ukraine and Moldova. It can't actually be reinforced by Russia. So the Russian force there is in, you know, strategically speaking, a hopeless position if it comes to a new war. And so, you know, unless Putin, which of course he's entirely ruthless enough to do, is prepared to sacrifice this force for some geopolitical advantage, but it's not at all clear to me what that advantage to Russia would be. So I don't know, but I'm somewhat skeptical that Moscow, obviously, I mean, Moscow would like to change the Moldovan government, but I'm skeptical that Russia wants to start a new war over Transnistria, because it would almost certainly lose it, and lose it very quickly if that happened.
I mentioned, because we just have less than a minute, there is simultaneous, perhaps coincidental, protesting going on in Tbilisi in Georgia. Again, Russia gains when there's turmoil, not necessarily a coup, but turmoil. Does that help Moscow? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, the turmoil is against protest against the present Georgian government, which has been, if not pro-Russian, has certainly been very anxious not to get into a new war with Russia. So, I don't think that unrest against this government serves Moscow's interests at all, because if this government fell, then there would be much more of a chance of Georgia taking a much stronger anti-Russian line and maybe, you know, trying to regain its lost territories by force.
Anatole Levin, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft in Kyiv. No missiles sounded while we talk. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.